WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. We take you live to First United Church of Christ in Sauk City for the Sunday morning worship service.
Good morning, everybody. Grace, peace, and welcome to you all on this perfectly lovely Sunday morning. Happy to have all of you here in the sanctuary, watching us on our YouTube channel, or listening on the radio. Wherever you come to church at First Church, you are always, always welcome. A couple of announcements for us before we continue. Our liturgist today is Tamara Straub. Radio sponsors are Greg and Lori Curl, in memory of Lori's mom, Linda Lemoyne. Our Stock the Schools campaign is looking for tennis shoes, athletic shoes right now for the summer. Men's, women's, and children's sizes, new or very gently used shoes. And then also, today is a wonderful day for a half-mile walk through the little village of Mount Horeb. And the Open and Affirming Love Your Neighbor group is inviting anybody who wants to come and march with us in the frolic parade in Mount Horeb. We will be marching with the PFLAG group in Mount Horeb, along with the United Methodist Church, the Zwingli UCC in Mount Vernon, and some people from the Lutheran Church in Mount Horeb, along with a Girl Scout troop. So come along, wear your pride colors. We are marching in support of our LGBTQ family and friends, and we would just love to have a big showing from this church. And if you're wondering why we're marching in Mount Horeb and not in Sauk City, well, two reasons. Because this is what open and affirming churches do. They take their welcome wherever they can. And secondly, there's no parade in Sauk City, so what are we going to do? We've got to find a parade to march in. So we have to be there, line up at 11:30, 11:45, at the corner of 8th Street and Garfield, where the high school is in Mount Horeb. And we are going to be in slot number 10, which is very near the front of the parade. So please, join us if you can. Rose has an announcement for us.
Good morning. I swear, last time you'll hear my voice for a while up here. Just a final reminder that next week is really an exciting time for us. On Saturday, there will be a meet and greet here at the church for our candidate pastor, Jennifer Seach. And from noon until 1 on Saturday, the search committee would like to invite consistory and paid staff members to introduce themselves. And from 1 to 4, all members of the congregation are invited to stop in for a little fellowship and meet Pastor Seach. Sunday, of course, will be our call Sunday, where Pastor Jennifer will be conducting the service. Immediately following the service, there will be a brief discussion time, and then a congregational vote. We hope to see many of you there. And the stewardship and consistory would like to thank you for all your support and your patience through this long journey. Thank you.
Now, you probably know that I have pointedly not been invited to this meet and greet or call Sunday, so I won't be here, but I am expecting and hoping that you will be as warm and generous with your welcome of this candidate as you were with me 2 years ago when I came. So just be who you are, and you will make her fall in love with you, and vice versa. Any other announcements out there that, Tim?
Next Saturday, me, my wife, and my daughter, and her two grandchildren, and one friend, we're heading to represent this church down in Biloxi, Mississippi, for our mission trip that we worked the last 2 years put together, so on. So we won't be here next Saturday or Sunday, so, but we'll go down there and represent the church the best we can, so.
Okay, good. Come back with a report, too, of what you did. Tell us about it. Bring us some pictures. Thanks, Tim. Anything else? Okay. Well, now, take a deep breath. Close your eyes if you would like to. Settle in to where you're sitting. Become aware that God is with you in this place as we slide into silence. As Tamara leads us in our call to worship, would you please stand if you're able?
Good morning. We are the body of Christ.
Not by our choice, but by God's call. Not because we are worthy, but because we are loved.
We are in the company of those who follow the way of Jesus.
Created by the hand of God, redeemed by the grace of Christ, given breath by the divine Spirit,
we have come to worship,
which is first and last and always to be grateful for the unbounded love of God, for the presence of our neighbors, for the possibility of our transformation.
Enter with joy into this time of song and prayer and fellowship.
Opening hymn this morning is number 43 in the New Century Hymnal, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
Thank you.
please, in the morning prayer. Please pray with me. Gracious God, we are a people created by your love, formed by the words of Jesus, and breathed into life by your Spirit. We live in a world that has forgotten its Creator, is being formed by hatred, and seldom breathes life into any who live here. We pray together for our world, for our neighbors, for our enemies, for our leaders, and we pray for ourselves. Forgive us for those things we should have done but failed to do, and for those things we did do but should not have done. Work in us the gift of forgiveness and the miracle of grace, so that we can be a people transformed who live to benefit your damaged but much loved world, we pray. Amen. Anyone, and that of course is everyone, who is in Christ has become a new creation altogether. The old is finished and gone. Everything has been made new. This is the gospel. This is the good news for you today, by which we are forgiven and made whole, and for which we say, thanks be to God. Our invitation to the table this morning is a prayer that comes to us from one of our sister denominations, the Disciples of Christ. This will be on the screen. I will read it for you. You welcome us to a table where love is made known. You welcome us to eat and drink. You welcome us to eat from the grain of your fields and the fruit of your vines. You welcome us. Disordered and disoriented and disconnected, broken and bitter, you welcome us, O Holy One. And so our prayer this day, as we prepare to eat, drink, and remember, is that we in turn might find the courage and the strength and the passion-filled desire to in turn welcome others. To in turn extend a glimpse of your radical hospitality, starting with just one person, in order that by your grace and through the nourishment of your table, we might begin reordering the brokenness, reigniting the extinguished lights, and bringing a measure of wholeness to a broken world. In our chaos, O God, we pray this day that we will listen and hear you speak. Amen. We remember that night when Jesus sat at table with his friends just before they betrayed him, before his enemies arrested him, how he took a loaf of bread and he blessed the bread and he broke it and he gave it to them and he said, take and eat. This is my body. It is for you. After supper, he took a cup of wine. He gave thanks for the cup and gave that to his friends, saying, take, drink. This cup is my blood of the covenant, poured out for the forgiveness of sin. When you drink, remember me. We gather at this table every week. We eat and drink in the company of each other, in the presence of Jesus himself, proclaiming as we do what is the mystery of our faith, that Christ has died, but Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. These are the gifts of God for all of you, my friends, the people of God. Come to the table. Everything is now ready. Would you pray with me, please? Bountiful God, we give thanks that you have refreshed us at your table by granting to us the very presence of Jesus himself. As his bread has been broken to make us whole, and this cup overflows with your grace, now pour us out to be a blessing to all your people. Walk with us through the darkness, awaken us to your light, bring us closer to each other and ever closer to you. Amen. We have a kid. Does she want to come down for a kid's time? We have two kids. This is Lewis, right?
This is Lewis. You baptized
him. I did.
And this is Caroline.
Hi, Caroline. Is Lewis your little brother? Is he still wet from when he got baptized? He is. He is. Because that goes all the way through. And it stays with him forever and ever. I'll never forget that, people. So, last week I had a story. And I wasn't able to tell it because somebody had a different idea, so I had to do something different last week, so I saved that story for this week. Long time ago, when Jesus was around, he would tell people stories, very short stories, but he wouldn't tell them what the story was about. He would tell these sometimes strange stories that didn't make any sense, and then people had to figure it out later. They would go home, they'd have lunch, and they would say to each other, "What in the world did he mean?" And they had to figure it out. I'm going to tell you one of those kinds of stories today, okay? And not tell you what it means. You can go figure it out later. Last spring, about this time, I planted a raised bed garden full of strawberry plants, like 25 strawberry plants in this one bed. And I could almost taste the strawberries because I love strawberries. They're only little tiny plants like this. I planted them. I went inside. I went to sleep, and I woke up, she's occupied, and I woke up the next morning, and I went out, and the squirrel had jumped into my bed and said, "Oh, I think I love strawberries." And he plucked up one and tasted it, threw it down. Went over to this one, plucked it up, tasted it, I don't like that. No. He plucked up half of my strawberries. He didn't put it back in the ground. He just laid them down. The sun came out, baked the roots. Half of my strawberries were gone. And I came out and I said, "What am I going to do now? I wanted those strawberries." And I said, "Well, we'll see what happens." So I didn't do anything except keep the weeds down. And then the plants grew a little bit. Then they went to sleep for the winter. This spring, I went out to my garden, and the plants had gone all over the place. And I looked under the plants, and there were little green strawberries. And I came back the next week, and there were big red strawberries. And I don't know how they got there. I picked one. They go. And I... Oh, that's good. Here. Want one? Taste it. Isn't that good? That's good. Let's pray. Oh God, have very good things. Good tastes, good friends, good people, good things that fill this world you have made. We thank you. Amen. Go home and figure it out. Yeah. We have something not in the bulletin today, but it's going to happen. Jack Eckler is going to sing a song for us. It is no secret. Oh, that's the secret. Okay.
been a couple of years since I've done this, so. The chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I bring news to you. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night, for in his light you'll never walk alone. Always be at home, wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Do not be forsaken, don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. It is no secret what God can do.
Jack, very nice. Our invitation to the offering this morning is one line from the 89th Psalm. I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord. With my mouth I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. We will receive our morning offering at this time. Thank you. please, in our gratitude prayer. With thanksgiving and praise, we bring our offerings to you. Use these gifts to aid the hands that heal and the hearts that reconcile, and to shine the light of the gospel into the night around us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, please.
Our first scripture reading is 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 12. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. This into the Hebrew Bible, into the book of Psalms. I'm reading Psalm 139, verses 1 through 18. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Wonderful are your works. That I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me when none of them yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. This ends our readings for this Sunday morning. God is speaking to us through these words. When God speaks, the words are true. We can trust them. Would you pray with me, please? May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. When I read this psalm closely, it very often draws out of me something in between a confession of my own shortcoming and the confession of what, for me at least, passes for faith. Or more likely, a response that encompasses both my weakness and this confession of faith. Fortunately for all of us, I think, a confession of weakness and a confession of faith are not mutually exclusive. It is possible, if we don't grasp either too tight, to hold both our weakness and our trust that God is with us at the same time. In fact, it is best if we do this. We are who we are, but we are also children of the one who is love. And so we need to be honest about the first, that we have a dark side, and trusting in the second, that God's love shines into our darkness, telling a deeper truth about us. To help us hold this difficult balance, I want to start from someplace other than the psalm with the words that Tamara just read. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. To say that God is love goes well beyond what we usually say, that God is loving, for instance, or that God loves me. Both of those are true, but maybe not true enough. Because love is not what God does. Love is what God is. And this means, you see, that whenever or however the mystery of the holy comes to us, it comes only and always as love. God is not love and judgment, for instance. God is not love and condemnation. God is just love, who only and always comes as love, only and always speaks as love, only and always breathes out love. As Walter Cronkite used to say, anybody remember him? That's the way it is. I wanted to start with these words from John because it seems to me that this image of God as love only and always, is the key that opens the psalm that we are reading this morning. I think the person who wrote this psalm was saying in poetry what John would say hundreds of years later in his letter. Look here, for instance. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the grave, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning, if I am blown to the farthest limits of the sea, even there, your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me safe. I once read this psalm in an evening prayer gathering, and when we were reflecting on it later, someone said, "You just can't get away from this guy, can you?" And this is true. You can ascend to heaven or fall into the grave. You can take the wings of the morning and fly to the ends of the earth, and this God will be waiting for you. There is no place you can hide because there is no need to hide. When you are being pursued, it really matters, don't you see, who is doing the pursuing. If you see God as a vindictive, condemning judge, being chased down is not good news. You will run to the end of your life living in constant fear, and in the end, you will get caught anyway. But if you hold to this image of God as love, love that will never give up on you, never condemn you, will always hold you close, always lead you to safety, well, that's something quite different, isn't it? If I say, "Surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you." When we open our eyes these days, we see just how dark it is. We live on a planet that is burning up, in a society bent on self-destruction, where some of our business leaders and politicians are more than willing to sacrifice your lives to their wealth and power. I'm not much of an optimist on my good days. When I open my eyes to the way we humans are going, I'm not an optimist at all. I think we, and especially our children and grandchildren, are in for some tough times ahead. I am not an optimist. But I can choose, and I have chosen, with this psalmist, to be hopeful in the darkness. Optimism is a feeling that some can muster better than I can. But hope is a choice that we make. To hope is to stand against the darkness. To hope is to believe that doing what's right is eternally worthwhile no matter how things turn out. To hope, you see, is to trust, as the psalmist says, that God can see in the dark. And this I do believe. But I don't believe it easily or all the time. The darkness is not dark to God, but it is dark to us. Sometimes the lights go out, and the darkness seems to go on and on and on. Here's the thing. We can't see in the dark, but we can trust in the dark. We can trust that because God is love and love can see in the dark, love will find us. Or better, we can trust whatever we feel that love has never lost us. That too is the way it is. And a society, a congregation, for instance, held in love and choosing hope, can help to build a world shaped by love. This is another gift of hope unwrapped in this psalm, I believe. We can turn on the light. We don't have to live in darkness one day longer. Our politics don't have to be poisonous. Our neighbors don't have to be enemies. We don't have to stay in the darkness. Martin Luther King Jr. said this with far more elegance than I can. "Returning violence for violence multiplies violence," he said. adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. The love God is lived out in hope and the certainty that love is worth living out regardless of how it turns out. This is the way out of darkness. Now, don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying that returning love or hate is easy. It isn't. It may, in fact, be the costliest, deadliest thing you will ever do. Just ask Jesus. But refusing hate and insisting on love is the only way out of our present darkness. This was the message of Martin Luther King's life. It was a message of Jesus' life as well. Only light can drive out darkness. Only love can drive out hate. And we, who are followers of Jesus, who have experienced the love God is, are made bold to imagine living out this love even in these crazy, dark times. This psalm, the 139th, may well be my very favorite out of all 150 of the psalms. And the closing four lines may be my favorite among the favorite. In that final stanza of the psalm, the poet makes a rather grand confession of his ignorance and helplessness. I can relate to that. The creation is far too wonderful, he says, far too complex and mysterious for him ever to grasp or understand. Wonderful are your works, he says. That I know very well. He knows wonder. Everything else is beyond him. This is my confession as well. The older I get, year by year, it seems, the less I know, the less I am sure of, and the less I believe. I don't like it all the time that way, but this too, for me, is the way it is. But in the closing lines of the psalm, the poet brings it all together. All the mystery of creation, the mystery of the divine, the confession of hope that has so far at least managed to hold me up and carry me through whatever darkness I stumble into. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. In other words, trying to make sense of you, O God, is harder than counting every single grain of sand on the seashore. I could do that. But when I came to the end of my counting, there would still be infinitely more. So I'm at my end. I give up. I give up. But thanks be to God, when I am done and done in, I am still with you. Amen. Here is your time to contribute your own concerns, your own blessings. Yes, please. Your own vision or experience of the presence of God in the darkness around you.
Rhonda? I just want to say that Crystal is out of town this week in Michigan at an FDA conference, and that's why Tyler is here with the kids this weekend, and I'm so blessed that he brought them to church. And Crystal had a rough go. It was supposed to be about a 5-hour travel, and it was 11 and a half due to plane issues. So I just pray for her safe return on Wednesday.
Thank you. Shirley.
I ask your prayers for my nephew, Chris, and hundreds of other people who are on a 260-mile canoe trip this weekend in Texas. And last year, he had a really terrifying experience and almost died at the end of the race when his canoe broke into pieces. So this year he's with a team, but there's a lot of people out on that river who haven't gotten sleep, and I just ask you to join me in praying for their safety.
Yeah. The two questions: how do you go 260 miles in a canoe on one weekend? And the second one is, why? Yeah. He'll tell you when he gets back. Thank you. Over here to Philip.
Just as we pray for each other, I think God wants us to pray for all people. And I am holding in my hearts not only the people of Gaza, but the people of Israel, the people of Ukraine, the people of Russia, and especially their leaders, that they may see the futility of violence and bring peace to their worlds and to ours.
Thank you, Phil. I have been avoiding for the past few weeks reading a lot of that news, but I didn't think I could handle it very well. I've begun reading a little bit this week, and it is even worse than I had imagined. The people desperately need things to be different than they are, and our prayers can give some help how we deal. Forgive me, who we vote for can make a difference. So please, for the sake of all of these people, pay attention to yourselves, pay attention to how you live your lives in the country we have that is so rich and so abundant. What do we do with this gift, and how do we use these gifts to benefit the people who are suffering? Thank you, Phil. So we will hold all of these concerns together as we pray and conclude with the prayer that Jesus taught us. Please pray with me. We are grateful, gracious and loving God, that we can come to you with the burdens on our hearts, with the things that concern us, the things that frighten us, the suffering that we see in the world, the worries we have for the people that we love. We bring all of this to you today, trusting that when we cannot see our way through the darkness and the mess of the world, that we are the children of a God who can see, who loves more deeply, more broadly than we could ever manage. And we ask, gracious God, that you will call us deeper and deeper into this love, to share what you have given as much as we are able with everyone that we meet and everyone within our reach. And hear us, gracious God, as we pray together the words Jesus taught us when he said, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Closing hymn this morning is number 503 in the New Century Hymnal, "O Savior, Let Me Walk With You." We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4. If you're able, please stand as we sing.
Thank you.
Let the peace of God be in your heart. The grace of God be in your words. The love of God be in your hands. And may the joy of God be the song your life sings. Go with that peace. Amen.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City.